الصباح الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على رقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. صلوات. First of all, I would like to make a correction in the last speech. And one of the brothers has asked me, the verse is إِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ. Not إِنَّ مِنَ الْحَجَرِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ. So that there shall be no confusion in the future. Salawat. We have been discussing the subject of Ba'asat, the maqsad and the purpose of the Ba'asat of Anbiya. And we have already learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down all these prophets for the purpose of tazkiyatun nafs and in order for us to learn the knowledge of the book and wisdom. And when we talk about tazkiyatun nafs, purifying ourselves, our souls, our hearts, it causes a person in his lifetime to start witnessing the hidden realities and haqa'iq of this universe, reaching right into the middle of the Alamul Malakut. This world in which we are living right now is called, according to Islamic philosophy, Al-Hikmat al-Muta'aliyah, as Alam al-Nasut. And the world which is after it, the stage between death and the day of resurrection, that is the stage of the world of Barzakh. And in certain knowledges we call it Alam al-Mithal, Alam al-Malakut, Alam al-Barzakh. It has different names in different knowledges of Islam. So in that stage is called the Alam al-Malakut, the life after death, the stage where a person reaches after death, which is a much more wider, huge, more huge and much more deeper world. This world is incomparable to that. And after that stage, the third level is Alamul Aql, Alamul Tajarrud. Yeah, another name that I just recalled for this Alamul Malakut is called a Tajarrudul Barzakhi. Because that is the stage when after death, when the soul is separated from the body, but it has a special kind of link remaining with our material body, our physical body. That is exactly why when a corpse is laid into the grave, it feels the pain of azab and torment, and it feels the all those rewards and sawab given inside the grave, because the soul has a kind of relationship still remaining with the body. Whereas in the Alamul Aql or Alamul Tajarrud, the next world after it, there is no relation of the soul with the body at all. And higher than that is the stage which is called Alamul Jabarut. And higher to that is the stage which is called Alamul Hahut in our Islamic philosophy. The stage where there is nothing except Allah. So, it is compulsory, like I told you last night, for every mu'min to work in such a way so that he can find and witness the hidden realities of this universe by practicing all those good acts and abstaining from all the haram and the sins. That is considered to be eligible wajibat, the most superior of all the wajibs in Islam. But if a person does not succeed in removing all these curtains before our eyes to watch these realities, then he is no different from an unbeliever, because he and an unbeliever are on the same stage. That's what an unbeliever performs, that he cannot watch the realities because he doesn't have faith, doesn't have amal salih, the good acts. As soon as they die, they see all those realities, but before that, they are in total darkness. Now, moving towards this current situation of ours into the Alamul Malakut by performing Tazkiyatun Nafs, which is the purpose of sending down 124,000 prophets. This movement from this stage of Alamul Nasut, the present world, into the Alamul Malakut, the hidden world in this life, this movement can only happen if we don't have the chains tied up with our body. The same chains that I refer to about Surah Yasin, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ. Allah has provided these chains in the neck of few people, which is tied up in such a way that they cannot raise their head to watch the hidden realities. فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ, they reach the hinge. So the head and the throats are tied in such a way they cannot watch. And the same chains which Imam Ali is referring in Dua Kumail, similar chain that وَقَعَدَتْ بِي أَغْلَالِي, these chains of the sins have caused me to sit down and I cannot move. Of course, he is not talking about himself, he is speaking us. The chains of the sins cause a human to get stuck to this world. We cannot move forward towards the Alamul Malakut, which is the purpose of our creation, to move forward. And any movement, of course, logically requires that a person has to be free. But since their chains are available, we are tied up with these chains, we cannot move forward, we cannot advance in our character building. And we stay the way we were, in the same stage we were. And that is why we see that our scholars of akhlaq clearly state, mention that these chains are the sifat-e razila, the lowly attributes of the soul. It is wajib and obligatory on every person to remove these evil attributes of the soul in his life. Every evil attribute has an impact on the soul. Every single attribute. We have a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. You know, like people have different colors for their faces, in our Islamic knowledge of spirituality, we have that state, this point stated in clear words, that the souls of the humans have different colors. Every human has a soul. The soul also has colors, the way that Allah has provided a color for your face, for your physical face, your body, your skin. In a similar way, there is a color for the soul, which is not provided by Allah, which is in our own hands. We can choose our color for the soul. And this is what is indicated in the hadith that I am going to mention right now, where Imam says that إِذَا أَذْنَبَ الرَّجُلُ, and this is in Usul al-Kafi, إِذَا أَذْنَبَ الرَّجُلُ, whenever a person performs a sin, our sixth Imam says, خَرَدَ فِي نَفْسِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءٌ, a black spot appears on his soul. One sin, one spot. Just the theory of cause and effect, which is true for all the things in this world. The whole world is running on the theory of cause and effect. This world is alamul asbab, illat and ma'lul, sabab and musabbab, cause and effect. Whatever you do, you get the impact right then and there. And إِذَا أَذْنَبَ الرَّجُلُ خَرَجَ فِي نَفْسِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءٌ, a black spot appears on his soul. فَإِنْ تَابَ إِنْ مَحَتْ, now that a person, if the person performs tawbah, Imam says the black spot disappears. It's removed. It's gone. As soon as a person performs tawbah, it's gone. But وَإِنْ زَادَ زَادَتْ, but if a person doesn't repent, doesn't get back. You know, tawbah means rujoo, getting back to the track, getting back towards Allah, getting back to the point of your origin, turning again towards the same direction where you belong, where you came from and where you are heading to. That is called tawbah. So if the person doesn't perform tawbah, the situation is that Imam says the black spot widens. So in zada, if he performs sins more, zadat, the dot expands on the soul. The color of the soul becomes more black. حَتَّى تَغْلِبَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ فَلَا يُفْلِحْ أَبَدًا. Our Imam says, till the time arrives that the blackness of the soul, that black spot becomes so white that it covers the whole soul. فَلَا يُفْلِحْ أَبَدًا, and the person can never ever succeed, because now his soul is black. This is the color of the soul. We perform sins day and night. We don't realize that the soul we have in our bodies, what color does the soul has? We don't know. We don't see. Again, it's one of those hidden realities that we don't see. We don't see the black color of the soul. If the Imam of our time is present before us, if the 12th Imam is there, he can watch exactly the color of the soul of each and every person in the world, the way it is, because there are no curtains before his eyes. This is one of the hidden realities, and a few of them I will mention later. So there are hidden things which are very significant for our career. So Imam says the whole soul turns black. This is the color, this is Sibkhatullah. Sibkhatullah, every person is supposed to have a color Now, white or black, doesn't matter. And that color which we acquire for the soul is more important than the color we have for the skin. Because that's not, that doesn't matter before Allah whether you are white or black or brown or yellow. It's all the same if you have taqwa. And if you don't have taqwa, then nothing matters. Even the Bilal al-Habashi is more superior than a white person because he had taqwa. So all it matters before Allah and Prophet and Ahlul Bayt is not the color of the skin, but the color of the soul, which is the hidden reality, which is the haqiqat of this zahir, which is the batin of this zahir, because they watch the batin, not just the zahir. And on the Day of Judgment, in fact, our knowledges are so vast that it takes your lifetime to learn a bit of it, a part of it, but still you cannot engulf all the available knowledge of Ahlul Bayt. It is so vast. And in our scholars of Kalam, Mutakallimeen, our scholars of our Aqa'id, Ilmul Kalam means Ilmul Aqa'id, the scholars of our beliefs, in their detailed books, have mentioned almost 46 names for the Day of Judgment. And I wish I had time, maybe in the future, or whenever possible, just to mention before you the reasons and the wisdom behind each and every name of the Day of Judgment. Why the Day of Judgment is called such. There are 46 names and several attributes, specific attributes of the Day of Judgment, and if you combine all those attributes and names, it totals up to 76. 76 different names and attributes of the Day of Judgment in Islam. Why? Because there is a wisdom. And one of those names is that the Day of Judgment is the Yawma Tubla Sarair. It's the day when all the hidden realities would appear. That's one of the attributes of the Day of Judgment. All what we used to hide from the people, all the sins that people, that we hide from our fellow brothers and sisters, husband hiding something from the wife hiding from the husband, son hiding it from the father, daughter hiding it from the mother, brothers hiding from the brothers and sisters, all the sins that we hide from each other, every sin is going to appear on the Day of Judgment. Every hidden thing will become apparent. Because the name of the Day of Judgment is Yawma Tubla Sarair. The day when the hidden realities, hidden secrets will no more be hidden. Just imagine a place where billions and billions of humans are gathered together and they are told about their sins before everyone. How much shameful it is for a person to hear all the sins recited before everyone, not just your father and mother and brother and sister and wife and children, everyone from awwaleen and akhireen. It's really a very serious matter. Except one category of people, which are an exception, whose sins will not be recited on the Day of Judgment before all. And those are the people who hide the sins of each other even after knowing it in this world. Because they are not running and searching and picking up the bad points of the character of each and every person and searching the sins. There are a few people in societies, they are always after searching the bad points and the sins and evil attributes of other people, which is a very condemned thing in Islam. Nobody is supposed to search the bad points and sins of any person. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows everything, all the secrets, but He is so merciful that He is hiding it and still providing all the blessings and bounties to us continuously. It's our responsibility as well, like the Hadith al-Qudsi says that Hadith says that تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. That means have the morals of Allah. Mold yourself such that you have the same attributes and morals as Allah has. The same attributes of Allah should be in yourself. If Allah is Rahim, you have to be Rahim as well. If He is Kareem, you have to be Kareem as well. And all those attributes. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. So Allah is Satirul Uyub. And they are also supposed to be Satirul Uyub. To put curtains on the sins of other brothers, fellow mu'min brothers that we know. Because every mu'min has a lot of respect. Not just respect, a lot of respect in the eyes of Allah. Only those people who hide the sins of each other in this world and not are running and searching the sins, their sins would be told secretly to them. No one else would know. That is why the hadith of the Prophet says that لا تتبعوا عورات المؤمنين. Never search the sins and hidden things of the mu'mineen. Never do that. Why? Allah doesn't stand in need of all those good acts that we perform. It's for our benefit. If only the humankind realizes this reality that God is rich from the universe. Allah ghaniyun anil alameen. Doesn't stand in need of us whether we pray or whether we fast or do hajj and ziyarat and qums and whatever we do. It's for us, not for Allah. Even if the whole humanity stops praying, He will still remain Allah. Even if the whole humanity ceases to accept that He is the Creator, He will still remain Allah. Doesn't matter. Allah doesn't stand in need of us. We stand in need of Him. So the Prophet says, لَا تَتَبَّعُوا عَوْرَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't search the hidden secrets and hidden sins of the fellow mu'mins. Why? Because the harm gets back to us. It backfires us, not Allah. If you search it, what's going to happen? Prophet is telling beforehand. لَا تَتَبَّعُوا عَوْرَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَتَبَّعُوا عَوْرَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَتَبَّعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ. Those of the mu'mins that search the hidden sins and secrets of the fellow mu'mins in this world, Allah is gonna search their sins. And what would happen if Allah is after picking up your sins? What would happen? وَمَنْ تَتَبَّعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ فَضَحَهُ وَلَوْ فِي جَوْفِ بَيْتِهِ. Allah is going to humiliate him, although he may be sitting in the innermost room of his home. He would be humiliated before all the society, although he may be hiding in the innermost room of his home, running away from the whole society. If he runs after the sins and secrets of other mu'mineen, he would be insulted before the whole society. So never search about the sins of others. In fact, hide them. Even if you know them, hide it. It's a big sawab, and that has a big benefit for yourself, as no one is masoom. Everybody has sins and shortcomings. This is the moral of our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Salawat. Now, the importance of tazkiyatun nafs can be easily understood by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the most superior of His messengers. Our Holy Prophet is the most superior of all and the first creation that was created. Like the hadith of Prophet says that أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِ. The first thing that Allah created was my light, my nur. And in certain hadith, Prophet says that أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَقْلِ. The first thing that Allah created was the intellect. Which our scholars say that there is no contradiction between these two hadiths. Because Prophet and intellect is one and the same thing. Prophet is entirely wali, he is the intellect. He is nothing but Aql. And Aql is nothing but the Prophet. So Aql is equal to the Prophet is equal to Noor. There's no difference. All he is Aql. And all he is Noor. Because there is a big difference between the definition of Aql, like it may be defined by some other unbelievers or Western philosophers, and the definition of Aql in Islam. Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has clearly defined Aql in Usul al-Kafi, that al-Aqlu, Imam is defining the Aql. Al-Aqlu ma'ubida bihi al-Rahman waqtusaba bihi al-Janan. Aql is something by which, through which, you worship Allah. You worship Rahman. وَاَكْتُسَبَ بِهِ الْجَنَانِ, and through which you acquire the paradise. You can never find a person saying, well, my aql leads me towards the sins. No. That is a wrong statement. The aql can never lead you towards the sin. Your desires are leading you towards the sin. Aql is always supposed to lead you towards the obedience of Allah. Nothing but that. That's the definition of Aql. Imam says, Al-Aql ma'ubida bihi Rahman. Aql is something that causes you to obey Rahman and worship Rahman and to acquire the paradise. That's how the Aql is created. Aql is the Holy Prophet. Aql is the first creature of Allah. And this capability of ta'aql and aql that we have in our soul, again, it's an attribute of our soul, not of our body. That attribute is again always asking us to obey and worship Allah. Constantly asking us. So I told you that it is easy to understand the importance of this purpose of sending down all the prophets, and especially this most superior of all the prophets, who is considered to be the first creature of Allah, considered to be the first Noor and light, who is considered to be the intellect, who is so high that all the rest of the things were created before him. And some of the hadith mentioned that the creation of prophet and the Noor of the prophet, al-haqa'iqun nuraniya, the arwah of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, the souls, the Noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, were created 14,000 years before the creation of Prophet Adam. 14,000 years. And God knows whether these years belong to the life of this world or belong to that world. If these years belong to that world, then one day of that world equals to 50,000 years of this world. يَوْمٌ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفْ سَنَةً. One day of that world equals to 50,000 years of this world. So they were created 14,000 years before. Everything was created before them, before their eyes, in front of them. So when Allah is sending the most superior and the biggest treasure that Allah has, in the form of the Holy Prophet Khatam al-Nabiyyin. He must have been sending him for the most superior of all the missions. The most superior has to perform the biggest of all the jobs. He has the highest of all the duties, the greatest of all the jobs, and the most superior mission. And that mission is the same tazkiyat al-nafs. So we can understand that the mission of the Prophet, since it is the mission of the Prophet and he is the most superior, so this is the most superior mission among all the missions. Nobody can underestimate tazkiyat al-nafs. Afdhal al-mursaleen is sent for the afdhal al-ahdaf, for the most superior of all the goals. But the blessing of Allah towards guidance like I said, is given according, like I said last night, is always given according to our capability, according to our zarfiyat, istidad, capability. The same purification of the heart. The more we purify our heart, the more we receive divine knowledge from Allah directly. The books are just a means of education. They are part of the cause. They are not the full cause. If they were the full cause, then all those people who stick to the books would have becoming scholars and successful people in their lives. But it's not like that. There are quite a few scholars who are fasiq and zalim. They are scholars. They maybe we have examples, people reaching on the highest levels, but still they are fasiq. Like somebody came and asked the Holy Prophet that man khairun nas, who is the best of all the people? And Prophet said, al ulama is al salahu. The best of all the people are the scholars, if they are salih, if they perform good acts, if they act on their knowledge. And the same person asked that, man sharrun nas, ya Rasulullah, who is the worst of all the people? And Prophet again said the same response, al ulama, the scholars, idha fasadu, if they are fasid. So they are, the books can, is not the whole cause and sabab, that it has always, it has to lead you always towards the divine knowledge. No. That is why in Islam we believe that the real knowledge comes from Allah. Books are the means of acquiring. They are not the full cause. They are not the illatun tamma. Not at all. We must be purifying our hearts to receive knowledge from Allah and Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. So it takes our zarfiyat and capability to receive all those divine blessings which are specific for the purified ones, because you never pour the milk into a filthy bowl. You never do that, because you're going to spoil the milk. And the knowledge and the nur of Allah, the knowledge which is the nur of Allah, is certainly superior than the milk. And our souls are certainly superior than a bowl. How can we expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the nur and light of knowledge into our filthy hearts and filthy souls? Impossible. The hearts have to be purified in order to receive the divine knowledge. It doesn't make sense that the heart is, and the zarf and the soul is not yet purified, and it still is capable to receive the light of knowledge of Allah. Impossible. That is why they emphasize so much. And that is why we find in the Tawqi' al-Mubarak, again, the holy sayings of the 12th Imam that used to arrive to his Nawab al-Arba'ah, those four of his great Na'ibin and deputies in the lesser absence period, Tabat-e-Sughra time. People used to come to the Na'ib of the Imam, ask their questions, give homes to them and stuff. And those questions were then transferred to the 12th Imam in the lesser absence period, directly by these deputies, one after the other. And Imam used to respond to all those questions that were asked from him. And those responses that used to arrive from the Imam are called Tawqi' al-Mubarak. And Imam used to respond them, those were written responses. And in those responses, our 12th Imam has written that قُلُوبُنَا أَوْعِيَ لِمَشِيَّةِ اللَّهِ. Our hearts, I mean, coming to the same point, that we should understand the zarfiyat, the capability of our souls to receive the nur. He says that our souls, we, Ahlul Bayt, look at the difference between our souls and their souls. Imam said that as far as our souls are concerned, قُلُوبُنَا أَوْعِيَا لِمَشِيَّةِ اللَّهِ. They are the bowls. They are the bowls which are ready and prepared to embrace the mashiyat and will of Allah. فَإِذَا شَاءَ شَأْنَا. Now whenever Allah wishes anything, we also wish the same thing. If He doesn't wish anything, we also don't wish. What He means to say, it has a very wide meaning. But whatever Allah wishes, if Allah has ordered us to do something, to perform this wajib, to perform this mustahab, to not to perform this haram, to abstain from this makruh, then there is no other need for Allah to emphasize anymore. Just one wish of Allah is sufficient for us, Ahlul Bayt, to obey Him fully. We obey Allah fully just out of one wish of Allah. As soon as we know that Allah wishes something, we also wish. We start moving in the same direction. As soon as we know that Allah doesn't wish that, doesn't want that thing to happen, we can never do that. Look to the extent of their obedience to Allah. Blind obedience to God. And that is why they received the highest possible limit of knowledge. Right from the beginning of their creation. Right in the first flash on their souls. Al-Ishraq al-Awwal. The first flash of Noor on their souls. They received the whole knowledge. They don't need any more, because that's the best a human can get. Like Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is... is mentioning in his hadith in Usul al-Kafi, where he says, and that revived narrated by Sudair al-Sarufi, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He had several hadiths narrated from Imam Sudair al-Sayrufi. And Imam says that Asif bin Barqiya, who was the Naib and deputy of Prophet Sulaiman, that brought the throne of Saba, Sheba, from Yemen in the blinking of an eye, even less than that time, because he knew one word among those Asma'ul A'zam, those great names of Allah. He just knew one of those great names, and he had such a miraculous power in his soul that he can bring and do anything. And that's how he brought the throne of Princess Saba from Yemen right before Prophet Sulaiman in the twinkling of an eye. And then Imam says to Sudair that ilmul kitab, because Quran mentioned that the Quran doesn't take the name of Asif ibn Barqiya. Quran mentions the attribute of Asif ibn Barqiya, mentioning that qala allazi indahu ilmun min al kitab, the person who has a part of the knowledge of the book, not the whole knowledge of the book of Allah, no, part of the knowledge of the book. He can bring the throne in the twinkling of an eye. And Imam is doing the tafsir of that word, part of the book, ilmun min al-kitab, not full knowledge of the book. Imam performs the tafsir by saying that he only knew one of the names, not more than that. Part of the book in the Quran, in fact, means one of those names. And then Imam said to Sudair that ilmul kitab, wallahi kulluhu indana. That the entire knowledge of the book of Allah, I swear to Allah, is with us. Salawat. So the purification of the heart is that important. And that is why we find our fourth Imam saying in one of his du'as that Allahumma in kana umri marta'an lishaytan, فَقْبِذْنِي إِلَيْكَ سَرِيعًا. Oh my Lord, if my life... Again, Imam is Masoom, he is teaching us how to pray to Allah and how to get out of this valley of sins. Allahumma in kana umri mart'an li shaitan. If my whole aid, my whole life is a place, if my life is a place, is a playground for Satan to come and play with me how he wishes, to draw me to any sin that the Satan wants me to draw. If my life is a playground, if my life is a marta of Shaitan, then please make me die quickly. It's better for me to die, because the more I live, the worse it is for me. If we are still in the valley of darkness of sins, because our soul is getting darker and blacker, till it becomes that on the day of judgment, which is the day of opening up of all the secrets, the person who has the black soul, doesn't matter he had a white face of the skin, white color of the skin in this world, or black, doesn't matter. If he had the black color of the soul, his face will also turn as black, because that's the day when the secrets will appear before all. There are no hidden things remaining. People will have the colors of their soul, which is the real color of them, not the color of their skin, which is the apparent face. It's not the batin. The reality is what we are hiding inside. And we will be resurrected according to that reality. يَوْمَ تَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَ تَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ. The day of judgment, certain people have white faces. وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ. Certain people have white faces and some people have black faces. The same color of the soul will come on their face, the whole body. People who, maybe they were black in this world, but their souls were white with the noor, will be white on that day, because that's the true face. And those who had the black, white face in this world, maybe, but their souls were black, will have a black face on the day of judgment. That's the true face they deserve, with their own acts. Allah provided them a white face, but they deserve to be black. That is why when we pour the water during the wuzu and ablution that we perform every day, several times, when we pour the water, we pray to, there are several du'as, you know, our Ahlul Bayt have taught several du'as to us. While all of performing all these acts of the wuzu, when we see the water, we have to say some du'a. When we wash our hands, you have to say some dua for all these acts of wudu. And likewise, when you pour the water on the face, we say, Allahumma bayyiz wajhi yawma taswaddu fihi al-wujuh. Oh my Lord, make my face white on the day when the faces of the people will turn black. Wala tasawwid wajhi yawma tabyazzu fihi al-wujuh. And don't turn my face black on the day when there will be few people who will have white faces. And the tazkiyatun nafs is such which is devastating for a human. It leads to destruction. Again, we have to come back to the same point again and again about khawarij. I can never forget one of the sentences of one of my teachers in Hausa, who said to me that, and he said it correctly, that it is compulsory on every mu'min to learn about khawarij so that he doesn't remain stupid in his life, so that he should have ma'rifat how we are supposed to obey the imam of our time, because they were the ones who were Shias. They were the ones who fought a battle along with Imam Ali against Muawiyah, but then, because they didn't have tazkiyatun nafs, they turned so worse that they are ready to kill the Imam of their time. Really, what they want all of us to learn, what are the things that cause a person to reach such a worse situation? That the Khawarij in the Battle of Siffin, when we find that Malik al-Ashtar, the commander-in-chief of the army of Imam Ali, it has reached the tent of Muawiyah, and it's the matter of few seconds, few moments, that he's going to kill Muawiyah and the whole problem is finished once and for all. There's no Muawiyah anymore, there's no Yazid anymore, there are no Banu Umayyah remaining anymore. Such a critical situation. And Malika Ashtar is right near the tent of Muawiyah, and Khawarij stand up and say to the Imam that call him off. If you don't call him off, we are going to kill you. And Imam sends immediate message to Malik to come back. And this is again the obedience and the ma'rifat of Malik al-Ashtar, and that's why Imam made him the commander-in-chief. That he obeyed Imam to that extent. If we were there, maybe we would have been thinking that it's just a few moments, let's just kill the Muawiyah and then come back. Isn't it so? But this is against the obedience. As soon as you receive the command, you have to follow, otherwise you are a sinner. Maybe if he had performed the job and killed Muawiyah and came back, Imam Ali would also have been killed. This is the obedience. Do we have this sort of obedience? Like the Prophet Imam is saying, قُلُوبُنَا أَوْعِيَا لِمَشِيَّةِ اللَّهِ. Our hearts are just in the obedience of Allah. Whatever He wishes, we wish. That's it. One wish of Allah is sufficient for us to go in that direction. That's why they are so high. And salawat. But if a person doesn't stop him from these sins, one after the other, they reach a stage of qasawatul qalb, that nothing benefits them. George Jordak, the famous historian from Lebanon, a Christian historian from Lebanon, says that it is a pity. In his book, The Voice of Human Justice, that he wrote about Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that it's a pity that people killed the most superior person, because he's a Lebanese Christian, he knows Arabic, he can understand the Arabic text. So he says that it's a pity that the people killed the most superior person, the Imam of their time, who is the Imam from Allah in their beliefs, inside the house of Allah, that is the mosque, Qurbatan ilallah. A Muslim person, knowing that this is the Imam from Allah, and this is the house of Allah, which is again sacred, and killing the Imam from Allah in the house of Allah, Qurbatan ilallah. And again, Ibn Muljim was also one of the Khawarij. This is the worst possible situation of a human, that when he doesn't heed to the warnings, he reaches that stage. Whatever is told to him, it doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. That is what we find in Karbala. That's exactly what we find in Karbala. The people have become worse than stone-hearted. No warning is working on them. And we find in the riwayat that when Imam alayhi salam came in the khaymah of Imam Sajjad to transfer the secrets of Imamah to him in the final moments before his shahadat. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he had a look over his father, Imam Hussein, and the first he could not recognize his father. And someone asked Imam Sajjad that how come you couldn't recognize your father? And he said, because my dad had so much injuries from top to bottom, if you had seen him, you would understand why I couldn't recognize my father. Imam was bleeding from top to bottom. And some of the riwayat say that there were more than 1950 injuries on the body of Imam Hussein. And Imam came, transferred those secrets to Imam Sajjad. And you know what our fourth Imam said to Imam Hussein? He said that, Baba, didn't you tell these people that you are the son of Fatima al-Zahra? Didn't you inform them that you are the son of Fatima al-Zahra? Because to Imam Sajjad, it was sufficient for the people to realize that Hussein ibn Ali is the son of Fatima al-Zahra. If they realize this fact, they should not kill him. But those people are stone-hearted, worse than that. And Imam said that, yes, yes, my son, I already told them that I am the son of the Holy Prophet. I already told them that I am the son of Fatima al-Zahra and Ali al-Murtadha. I already told them that Ja'far al-Tayyar is my uncle. I already told them that I am the brother of Hasan al-Mustafa. I already told them that I am the Sayyid al-Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. I am the leader of the youth of paradise. I told them all those things, but it doesn't work. Till the time we find that Imam is standing alone in the Maidan of Karbala and asking for help. Hal min nasirin yansuruna? Hal min mughithin yughithuna? Is there anyone to come for help? Is there anyone to help the Ahlul Bayt? But no, there was no response. We find, because they were stone-hearted, they can never respond. We find that Imam Hussein, that Imam Sajjad says that Qutila Abi Sabran, my father was killed in such a way that, you know, Imam Sajjad wept on his father for 35 years of his life. All the life he was crying for his father. Whenever he used to recall, whenever he used to eat something, whenever he used to drink water, he used to recall the thirst of Imam Hussein and the thirst of the Ahlul Bayt in Karbala. He used to recall that, and he said that Qutila Abi Sabran, they killed my father in such a way that they killed whosoever wanted to do whatever to Imam, he was able to do. Somebody is cutting him with a sword. Somebody is putting a spear on him. Somebody is throwing an arrow. Those who didn't have any of these things, they were throwing stones at Imam Hussein. And Imam was killed in such a calm way that there was no one to stop them to kill Imam Hussein. There was no one to stop. They killed them so calmly. And Imam, they left no barriers. We have an incident which is narrated in Masabih al-Qulub, where it says, Rafiq Sabzumari says that one of the persons was found in near Mecca, and he was attached to the wall of Kaaba and praying to Allah that, may Allah forgive my sin, but I know you're not going to forgive me. And this person was blind, and he didn't have his hands and feet with him. And somebody asked him, well, what did you do that you are saying that Allah is not going to forgive you? He said, I am among one of those persons who was there in Karbala against Hussein ibn Ali. And I was the one who went towards Imam Hussein's corpse after the Shahadat of Hussein. And I was trying to take the kamarband, the belt of Imam, out of his body, out of his clothes. When I went near the body of Imam Hussein, and I was trying to take the belt out of his clothes, Imam's right hand came forward and he got hold of my hand, and he didn't allow me to take that kamarband out. And what I did is that I cut the hands of Imam Ibn Abdullah. I cut the right hand of Imam Hussein. I cut the right hand. And then I was again trying to take the kamarband out, that Imam who held my hand with his left hand, and Imam stopped me from doing that. But he was such stone-hearted that he said that I cut the left hand of Abi Abdullah, that I cut the left hand of Hussein ibn Ali. And when I did such a big crime, then I found that there was a lightning in the sky, and there were a few people coming and arriving near Imam Hussein, and I saw it was the Holy Prophet, and it was Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, and I went near Imam Hussein, and Ali al-Murtadha, and Hasan al-Mustafa coming towards Imam Hussein, and Hazrat Fatima, his mother, came near him and asked Hussein,
him, who killed you? And Imam said that Allah, my mother, in fact she may cut my throat. And in fact this person hiding here among the corpses, he is the one who cut my hands. And Hazrat Fatima, she cursed me by saying that may Allah cut your hand and feet, may Allah make you blind. And that was the day that he became blind.
يعلم الذين سلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به رضوانك ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا به مصيبات الدنيا اللهم امتعنا باسماعنا وابصارنا وقواتنا ما احييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا اكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين وإله پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما
سنت خدی بن حاتم sacrificed their lives along with Imam Ali in the battle of Siffin. All of them became shaheed. Four sons of one person. So Muawiyah is chanting that Ali did injustice towards you. Your sons are gone, whereas the sons of Ali are still living. This is injustice. Look at what Uday responds. This is the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says that in fact I did injustice towards Ali, because Ali has passed away, he has become shaheed, because he was visiting Syria after the Shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says because Ali has passed away, whereas me, myself, I am living still, I am alive. I did injustice towards Ali. I was also supposed to sacrifice along with my sons. And when Muawiyah heard that Uday is not the like of person to abuse Imam Ali and he's not going to bend down and bow down before Muawiyah, he changed the gear and he softened his tone and said, okay, Uday, just tell me something about Ali, some good thing about Ali, some fadilat about Ali. How did you find Ali in your life? You were so close to him. Forget about the rest. And Uday said, now he came to the point. Uday said that once I was in the Masjid of Kufa and I found my Mawla in the middle of the night standing in the mihrab, in the altar, and praying, that there was no one else in the mosque, praying alone in the middle of the night and shivering with the fear of Allah, and saying these words to Allah that Ah min qillati zad wa tul as-safar, the travel is so long, the travel that we are traveling towards our final destination, this trip is so long, we have to go a long way. Imagine people who passed away 1,000 years back lying in their graves, waiting for the Day of Judgment. People passed away 1,000,000 years back. Let's suppose. All those people who passed away in the past, waiting for their resurrection. Ah, min qillati zad wa tul as-safar. The trip is so long, whereas the sustenance, the zad, the necessary things that we require to have along with us, those a'mal saliha that we require, those good acts that we need, that taqwa that we need to take along with us, is so less. And giving 3 divorces to this dunya, أَتَّلَّقْتُكِ ثَلَاثًا لَا رَجْعَةَ بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا, I have given 3 divorces to you, this world, and all these worldly glitter and glamour and all these things that absorb the people towards this dunya and all the wealth of this dunya. I have divorced you thrice, where it's impossible in Islam to get back after the third divorce. Such was Imam Ali. And Muawiyah, with all that stone-heartedness, that was the occasion we find in the history that Muawiyah started weeping with real tears and said that, yeah, you are right, that's how Ali was. That was the condition of Imam Ali, and that was the condition of his sons, because his sons were also similar to him. That was the situation of all the Imams that we find that in Karbala, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam started in the beginning of the day of Ashura advising the enemy, giving a sermon after another sermon. He delivered several sermons. He rode the camel back and addressed and gave a sermon to the enemies, which again is an indication that I didn't come here to fight, because nobody comes to fight riding a camel back. You have to ride a horse to fight, or you should be on the ground, standing on the ground to fight, not on the camel. Camel was never used for fighting. For the fighters, they never used the camels. Imam rode the camel back on the day of Ashura and delivered his sermon to them. But there is no response. Again, because the hearts are so strong, worse than animals, that the Imam and the Hujjat and the best person on earth is addressing you, but there is no response. Not because there is anything wrong in the statements of Imam Hussein, not because his teachings, his sermons was wrong or not absorbing, no. The hearts of the people are not capable to accept it, to realize it, because they are stone-hearted, they did not purify. And Umar ibn Sa'd, Imam advised him, the commander-in-chief of the Yazid army, advised him by saying, he first asked him, why are you here to kill me? And Umar ibn Sa'd said, because if I don't do that, because first of all, Yazid has promised me to give a big, big house, a palace. He said, I guarantee a house for you. And then he brought another excuse. Yazid has promised me to give the government of that area, which is called Ray, which is right now included in Tehran, it's now one of the suburbs of Tehran. In those days it was a separate area, a Ray, a very green and fertile land. There were gardens and everything. So Yazid has promised me the government of that area of Ray. Imam said, I promise you to give a house in paradise. And he said, Yazid is going to kill my wife and children. The third statement of Umar ibn Sa'd. And that was the place where Imam Hussein stopped talking to him. Didn't say a word after it. What do you mean by that? The life of your wife and children is more important than the life of the Haram of the Holy Prophet, than the life of the son of the Prophet and his family members. Just to safeguard the life of your wife and children, you're ready to kill others? How can you bring that justification? Imam did not say a word to him. And he was the first person who addressed the army in the morning after the Fajr prayers. That, oh, the people of the army, be a witness before Yazid that I am the first person throwing the first arrow against Hussein. And the history says that as soon as Umar ibn Sa'd sent his arrow, there were 4,000 arrows coming towards the companions of Imam Hussein and the khaymah of Imam Hussein. And the riwayat says that almost 40 of the Imam's companions became shaheed in that occasion, right in the beginning of the day. 4,000 arrows coming. 40 of the companions got shaheed right then and there. This is the situation.
And same is, we find that when he was sending his son Ali Akbar, again he addresses to, he curses Umar ibn Sa'd in the words that قَتَعَ اللَّهُ رَحِمَكَ كَمَا قَتَعْتَ رَحِمِ. May Allah cut your generation like you are killing my generation. Because he's sending someone, فَقَدْ بَرَدَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَابٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا وَمَنْتِقًا بِرَسُولِكَ. Because now I'm sending towards them such a young boy who is the most resembling towards the Holy Prophet in his form, in his faith, in his attitude, in his conversation, in all the aspects. Ali Akbar is the most resembling towards the Holy Prophet. And kunna idha ishtaqna ila ziyarati rasulika nazarna ilayhi. Whenever we used to love to watch the Holy Prophet, Imam Hussein says, whenever we wish to see the Holy Prophet, we used to look at Ali Akbar. How beloved Ali Akbar is to Imam Hussein. And we find but other moments where Hazrat Zainab is addressing Umar ibn Sa'd, and that was the occasion, that was the final time of our Imam, when Imam was lying on the ground and Shimr was on top of Imam and slaughtering Imam Hussain. At that time we find Hazrat Zainab came out of the Khaymah and went on top of the hill and addressed Umar ibn Sa'd, Ayyuktala Abu Abdullah, that my Imam Hussein is killed, my brother is killed, and you are watching that and you are doing nothing for that. This is the situation of the army, and this is the situation, just one incident, because of the travel of towards Kufa and Sham, just one incident in Kufa, and I would finish my speech, that when this caravan arrived in the bazaar of Kufa, all these ladies who are prisoners and tied up all together in one rope, in one chain, and Imam Sajjad is walking in the front, tied up with the chain, and the heads of all the shuhada are on top of the spears, and it was such a strange situation. And now, when this caravan, this strange caravan is arriving in the bazaar of Kufa, we find that the women of Kufa, they are now crying, and Umm Kulthum says that يَتَقْتُلَنَا رِجَالُكُمْ وَتَبْجِينَ رِسَاءُكُمْ, that you women, your men kill us, whereas you come forward and you are crying over us, your husbands kill us and you are crying us. And this is the situation. Now they came, Umm Habiba said that she came and started distributing some dates towards the Haram of Ahlul Bayt, and distributing as the Sadaqah. And as soon as Hazrat Zainab knew that Umm Habiba is distributing the Sadaqah to Ahlul Bayt, to the prisoners, she stopped, she took the Sadaqah and threw it away, that it is in the Sadaqah alayhi muharramatun, it is haram on us Ahlul Bayt to use the Sadaqah, we cannot use the Sadaqah. And Umm Habiba was surprised, she asked Hazrat Zainab, why couldn't you eat the Sadaqah? Because she said, it is haram on us. And she said, okay, it is not the Sadaqah. In fact, it is not the Sadaqah. It is the date of the nazar that I did. Hazrat Zainab asked, what nazar did you perform? Umm Habiba says that I did the nazar that may Allah bless me to go and visit my Mawla Hussein ibn Ali. I have a Mawla in Medina, and I have a princess, Hazrat Zainab, living in Medina, and she is my lady. I did the nazar to go. May Allah bless me to go and visit them. And Hazrat Zainab, as she hears that, she says to Umm Salama, Allah has fulfilled your nazar. Now no need for you to go to Medina. And Umm Habiba says, why?
He said, the Zainab has arrived to your town. Zainab is in Kufa. The Habiba says, where is Zainab? When did she arrive? Why, how come I didn't know about Zainab? And the Zainab said, that Umm Habiba, it is right for you not to recognize Zainab, because the Zainab you saw in Medina was not in this condition. The Zainab right now is a prisoner in this condition. And Umm Habiba said, are you Zainab? If you are Zainab, then my Zainab had one sign, one alamat, and the alamat of my Zainab was that she was never separated from her brother, Hussein ibn Ali. Zainab was always with Hussein. And Zainab, Hazrat Zainab pointed towards the head of Imam Hussein. Hey, that is the head of Imam Hussein. Zainab in fact is not separated from her brother.
على رحمة الله للقوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهرة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم اغفر لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به رضوانك ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا به مصيبات الدنيا اللهم امتعنا باسماعنا وابصارنا وقواتنا ما احييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثارنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا اكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين لا إله فرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما فرچم کفر و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام کے تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما تمام اسیران اسلام بالخصوص جو اسرائیل کے زندانوں میں جلد کر رہا فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما بارہ ہماری اس قلیل عبادت کو قبول فرما بارہ ہم اس وقت اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک تو ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے امام دوبارہ کے ظہور میں تعطیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاه محمد وآل الطاهرين يا حسين